Ever get that feeling like you're drowning in information? Like you just want someone to cut through the noise and get straight to the good stuff.
Right to the point. No fluff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what we try to do here on the Deep Dive. I'm your host, and today we are going to dive into a story that's really captured our attention.
That's a good one.
Yeah, the Northern Maine Ice Busters and their quest for an international ice carousel record. Now, at first glance, it might just seem like one of those quirky little local events, you
Oh,
know.
for sure. But when you start peeling back the layers and you really dig into the sources, we've got some amazing stuff here, like news articles that are just buzzing with excitement, blog posts, you know, really capturing the community spirit, and even like a really heartfelt thank you note.
Yeah.
You realize this is so much bigger than just a small town, you know, oddity.
Exactly. And that's exactly why you brought this to us, right? I mean, you shared these materials and our mission today is to go beyond just that headline, you know, not just that they broke a record, but we want to really understand like the why. What made this ice carousel so special? What were the layers of collaboration and the community that made it happen?
The human element.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
So let's unpack this. Let's start with the location because this is really key.
Okay, so the backdrop for this incredible feat was the St. John River. And what's really interesting is that it sits right between Van Buren, Maine, in the US, and St. Leonard, New Brunswick, over in Canada.
So right on the border.
Right on the border. It's not just a pretty location, it's really fundamental to the whole achievement.
Totally. And even the date is kind of interesting,
Yeah,
right?
March 15th, 2025.
Which, as it turns out, was Maine's 205th birthday.
Wow.
So you've got this symbolic location and a really meaningful date.
Layered in.
So what did they actually do?
All right, so the core achievement, as you mentioned, was this international ice carousel record. What they set out to do was build a massive ice carousel that crossed this international boundary,
So literally spanning two countries.
literally spanning two countries. And the World Ice Carousel Association, they're the folks who keep track of these things, they have some pretty simple criteria. Just one rotation is enough to get you a record.
But these guys, they weren't just aiming for the bare minimum, were they?
No. They blew past that. They ended up doing six full rotations.
Wow.
And that brings us to the why. This is what makes this ice carousel so special. It's the international aspect.
Right. So it's not just some carousel spinning in a pond somewhere. It's the first and largest one ever built across a border. It's like you can picture it, right? This huge frozen disk
Yeah.
literally bridging two nations.
Absolutely. And not only that, it was also the first and largest ice carousel to be built and spun on a river.
Yeah.
So you've got the international aspect, but then you've also got the challenge of working on a flowing body of water.
Yeah, that adds a whole other dimension to
Oh,
it.
yeah.
And it's such a powerful symbol, right? I mean, this massive structure made of ice acting as like a physical link, you know, showing friendship and unity between the US and Canada. I mean, you don't often see international goodwill like so literally built, you know.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you think about the bigger picture here. To pull this off, they needed some serious cross-border cooperation at a governmental level. You've got Canada Customs, you've got the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, RCMP, on the Canadian side, working in sync with the US Border Patrol, CBP, Office of Field Operations, on the US side.
I mean, that's amazing. That kind of coordination across international borders is crucial, right?
Yeah, it speaks volumes about their willingness to work together on something that, you know, isn't your typical security concern.
It really does. And you know, it's a good reminder that these agencies can come together to support community-driven events, not just, you know, enforcement stuff.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty cool image of what international collaboration can actually look like.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of community, this event was like a magnet drawing people in from both sides of the border. You see this real sense of cross-border friendship and a shared sense of accomplishment in the sources.
Yeah, I was going to say you can just feel it in the blog posts and the articles, like
Absolutely.
this sense of excitement and unity.
It's palpable. And you know, people from both countries came together to create something unique, something historic.
I mean, just imagine the scene. People from two different countries cheering on this giant ice carousel. It must have been amazing.
It must have been incredible. And you know, when you think about the impact international projects like this, they tend to get a lot of media attention.
They do.
And that can be a huge boost for local tourism and businesses.
Right. So not just Van Buren, but St. Leonard as well.
Exactly. It's not just a flash in the pan. It can have a real lasting economic impact.
Yeah. It's like shining a global spotlight on this little corner of the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, maybe most importantly for the future, this sets a really positive precedent for, you know, international cooperation and community building in that region.
Yeah.
It's like a tangible example of what can happen when people and governments work together across borders for a shared goal, even if it is a little bit unusual.
Even if it is a little bit unusual. I love that. Okay, so we've got this amazing achievement, this symbol of unity, but who are the people who actually made this happen? Let's talk about the team behind the ice.
All right, so the mastermind, the driving force, the heart and soul of this whole operation was Roger Morneau.
Okay.
He was the visionary leader. He really championed this project from beginning to end.
But I'm sure he didn't do it all himself, right? I mean, something on this scale requires a whole team.
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right. So the core construction crew was Roger, along with Josh and Jason Morneau.
Okay, so a family affair.
Yeah. And then you had Mike Sear, the surveyor, and he was crucial because you need to get the geometry right on a structure this big.
Absolutely.
And then for the technical side of things, actually rotating this massive ice disk, Justin Albert and Kurt Hines provided their mechanical expertise.
Wow. So you've got this really strong core group with all these different skills. But what about the logistics of the event itself? That must have been a whole other challenge.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So handling the event coordination and all the little details, and even things like the merchandise that was Laura Pelletier and Natalie Morneau.
Okay, so keeping everything running smoothly.
Exactly. And then for getting the word out, you know, capturing the event for everyone to see, John Mazzo from Aroostook Unmanned Aerial Services, he handled the media outreach, got some amazing drone footage, and even live streamed the whole thing so people all over the world could watch.
Wow, so they really thought of everything.
They did. It was a very well-organized event.
I did see something about a Bernay character. What's that all about?
Bernay.
Oh.
Bernay is the Northern Maine Ice Busters mascot. It's a wood-burning metal giant.
Wait, what?
I know, right? Adds a little whimsy to the whole thing, provides some warmth, a little visual interest.
A wood-burning metal giant. On a frozen river. Only in Maine. Okay, so we've got the team. Was there anyone else who was, like, instrumental in making this happen?
Right.
Like, any special supporters?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, first of all, you've got Ken Domond and his antique Tucker snowcat.
Yes, sir.
That was essential because it provided the power to spin the carousel.
I love that, using this classic machine to achieve a modern-day record.
Oh, no, right? It's a great little detail. Yeah. And then you had Kevin Boulieu and his friends making spectacular helicopter entrances.
Whoa, talk about making an entrance.
Yeah, they really added to the excitement.
Yeah, it must have been quite a sight.
It was. And the international aspect went beyond just the location, you know? Some of the supporters came from far and wide.
Really?
Yeah. So Jean-Francois Richard and his family, they drove 15 hours from Quebec to be there.
Wow, that's dedication.
And he's not just any fan. He held a previous ice carousel record back in 2019.
No way.
Yeah, so his expertise was really valuable to the team.
That's incredible, driving 15 hours for an ice carousel. You know they're serious about this.
Oh, absolutely. And then there was Miguel and Denis Gagnon. They came from Grand Falls, New Brunswick, with their crew, and they brought their fat trucks.
Fat trucks? What are those?
They're these super rugged amphibious vehicles that can go anywhere, perfect for a frozen river.
Right.
They were essential for navigating that icy, uneven surface and moving that massive ice disk.
So they provided the muscle, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Without them, those six rotations might not have been possible.
It's really incredible how all these pieces came together. The people, the skills, the equipment, the international support.
It really was a symphony of effort. And something the sources emphasize over and over is the incredible contribution of the volunteers.
Yeah.
I mean, countless people donated their time and energy to make this happen.
Yeah, that's the heart of it, isn't it? This spirit of community.
Yeah.
People coming together to create something special.
Absolutely. And of course, we can't forget the sponsors. The thank you note specifically mentions, you know, Voisin Cedar Mill, the town of Van Buren, F.A. Peabody, Jeff's Pizza, United Insurance.
Local businesses stepping up.
Exactly. Their support was crucial.
Essential. And the thank you note also mentioned some raffles they had.
Oh, yeah. The Merchant Basket raffle and the 50-50 raffle. Those were a big part of the event as well. You know, getting the community involved and raising some extra funds. They even mentioned some of the winners, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah, it really personalizes it.
Yeah. So you've got Giselle Dion winning the 50-50, Frank Alpisa, Christy Pelletier, Jean Ouellette, Luke Dyer, they all won various baskets. And Luke actually took home the grand prize, courtesy of Aroostook Beverage Co. and Fort Kent Power Sports.
That's awesome. So it was a real community celebration.
It was.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are your big takeaways? Okay. Well, for me, the main thing that stands out is that this ice carousel was way more than just a record-breaking event. It was this perfect storm of ambition, incredible international cooperation, and really strong community spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just about spinning some ice. It was symbolic of unity, friendship, and what people can achieve when they come together, you know, across borders for a common goal, even a slightly offbeat one.
I think you nailed it. It really was about the human element.
Yeah. So thinking about all this amazing display of collaboration for something as fun and unique as an ice carousel, it really makes you wonder, doesn't it?
About
what other ways could we, you know, use international cooperation to benefit our communities or to tackle some of the challenges we face?
Yeah, it's interesting to think about the potential, right?
Yeah. Well, on that note, this has been a fascinating deep dive. Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this journey into the world of international ice carousels as much as we have.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, keep diving.